We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So, Vince, let's go into our daily mailbag and get that rocking and rolling here. We have a super chat from Connor Patton. My guy, Connor, I haven't seen you a whole lot lately. I appreciate the super chat, Connor. Hope the move has gone well. Happy summer vacation to Vince and other educators. That's right. He is a teacher. So that's right. He is obviously on that as well.
So happy vacation to you as well, Connor.
Yes.
This is the part of the year. No question about that.
John Banco with a super chat. He says, if we beat Ohio State, what three or four freshmen most likely – were the biggest contributors?
Tobias.
I wanted to time it the same as you because I knew where you were going. Yeah. On.
Tobias, Jaden Mickey, Junior Tuialamaka. Those are my.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw in another linebacker to be determined whether it's Nolan Ziegler or Jalen Snead. I feel like one of those guys is going to have a big play on special teams. You know, because like to beat Ohio State on the road, you can just outplay them like Oregon did. It's a lot easier when you can force a mistake, a special teams mistake, a turnover, something like that, a big hit to pin them at their own 15. You stop them, they punt, you get the ball at midfield, and you know you go down and get a touch. I mean, those are the things that can have a big impact. So I think you know special teams is an area where you're going to see that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And one freshman we didn't talk about who we probably should have is Bryce McPherson,
the punter, the
freshman punter.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, he's a guy that could have an impact. You know, he's going to have a chance to
starting punter is going to be the kid from Harvard or the freshman, so there's going to be a battle,
right?
So that's exciting.
So what if he wins the punting job? Then he's going to have a big role against Ohio State because field position against a team like Ohio State is so important.
Yes, no question.
You know, I mean, if Tyler Newsom doesn't shank an early punt against Clemson, does Clemson go up 14-0? I mean, one of their drives is like 30 yards long because he shanks a punt out of bounds, right? Yeah. You can't make kind of mistakes like that when you play really good teams on the road. So you know, that to me is Tobias is one. I think I like the Mickey one. Junior, maybe. I don't know if he'll do that against Ohio State. I don't know if that's the game for him. Or you could say, hey, look, we like him at Mike in this game because we don't have to load the box up as much because we've got this big Mike that can go run and play. Maybe that's the thing that they go with. But maybe not in the opener. But I think on special teams is where you could see a freshman have an impact. So Tobias, Jaden Mickey. You know, but you know who we might not want to discount is maybe like one of the tight ends.
Ooh, okay.
You know, just like getting lost in the shuffle and Eli Raritan streaking down the seams because Ohio State's like, that's a freshman. We're worried about Michael Mayer. We're worried about this guy. And all of a sudden, Eli Raritan outruns a safety down the seams for a big play.
Right.
You know, could see something like that as well. So I think those would be my best guesses. That's a good question, John. I love those on-the-spot questions. Those are always really fun.
That was great.
Always really fun.
Totally appropriate for what we're talking about today, too. I love it.
Very much so.
Staying on.
Much so. Got a super chat from Travis. He says, I saw Austin Novosad mention Notre Dame yesterday at 11. What new quarterbacks do you see Notre Dame getting in the mix with for the summer?
Baylor commit, right?
Yeah, Baylor commit, who has also visited Ohio State and a couple other programs this summer. He's open to other teams. I'm not going to dive too much into this one, Travis, because we're going to – so I want to wait till the Elite 11 is over because I don't want to say a lot and then all of a sudden there's rumors speculating while kids are down there. I do believe that soon Notre Dame – you're going to start hearing Notre Dame reaching out to quarterbacks. I think that's going to happen soon. It's just not going to be the next couple days, in my opinion. I do expect, however, him to be one that you start hearing more about moving forward. And there's some connections there that we'll get into down the road as to why he is would be interested in Notre Dame. And I believe he would be. But, yeah, we'll have more on that here once the Elite 11 is over. And I'm just a full disclosure, I'm going to have an article coming out probably Friday or Saturday where I go through all the quarterbacks that I think Notre Dame should go after. And that'll also include some guys that I'm hearing that they're going to go after. But it'll mainly be like, here's who I think they should go after. And I can assure you that Austin will be on that list. And I'll explain why, talent-wise, but also there's a connection there that should help Notre Dame out with that as well. So, yes, I do. Since his name is already out there, I have no problem talking about him. I'm okay talking about Austin. It's more of the other guys that I'm not going to mention.
You're such a tease.
Well, it's not tease. I've been asked to not do that yet.
Right. No, so I'm
not going to do that yet.
I'm just kidding with you. You know that. Yeah. I'm just like, ooh, okay.
Do tell.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
My wife is the coffee drinker in our house. So when I told her about trying out Trade Coffee, she was curious. When I told her that if she answered the survey Trade sent me, they could match her with brands she would like, she was downright skeptical. We ended up getting three different shipments from three regional coffee makers. And let me tell you, she was blown away. My coffee snob wife loved each and every new blend that she got. As a non-coffee drinker myself, I must admit, opening up the cabinet and getting a whiff of her most recent blend was aromatically pleasing. Trade sells the freshest roasted and ethically sourced beans from America's best independent roasters. They ship free to you and as often as you like, whole or ground. Whether you're a coffee connoisseur like my wife or just want a better daily cup, Trade's real coffee experts taste test over 400 roasts and use technology to match you to your ideal coffee based on your preferences and brewing method. Take the coffee quiz to get started. Trade Coffee guarantees you'll love your first bag or they'll replace it for free. And right now for Irish Breakdown listeners, Trade is offering new subscribers a total of 30 off your first order plus shipping when you go to drinktrade.com/Irish. That's more than 40 cups of coffee for free. Get started when taking their quiz at drinktrade.com/Irish and let Trade find you a coffee you'll love. That's drinktrade.com/Irish for $30 off. John A1 says, as for the 2022 freshman, I'm hoping Benjamin Morrison is as good or better than Brian evaluated him to be and push Barnes and Lewis for that starting spot opposite Hart. Yeah, I love competition.
Always.
Yeah, and always I always like when that. Freshmen are ready to play because if he's that good and he doesn't play, to John's point, see, John, what I like about what John said is there's people like, I want so-and-so to start over Clarence Lewis. Why? You just not like Clarence Lewis? Why not say, I hope Clarence Lewis becomes a lot better as a player? Like, right. I've heard all the reports, oh, Clarence is playing better. I don't care about what he does in the summer. I only care about once he gets to fall, can he cover dudes at Ohio State and all that? That's what I care
exactly.
about. Right? You know, but to me, if Clarence Lewis breaks out and takes that big step, I don't have a problem with Clarence Lewis starting. I care about whoever starts playing well.
Exactly. That
what I don't like is when people start, like, rooting against a guy I don't care if, hey, here's why I want Ryan Barnes to start, because I think that kid has great potential, blah, blah, blah. You know, and Vince has made the argument. Same with Cam Hart last year.
Yep.
It's because it's arguing from a positive.
Right.
What I don't like is when people say, I don't want that guy to play.
Right. Well, I want him to start because I don't want him.
Yeah.
That's
and I get why people say that, because Clarence struggled at times last year, especially against some of the better opponents. He struggled against Cincinnati. He struggled against Oklahoma State. He struggled against North Carolina. I get all that.
Yeah.
But he also saved them against North Carolina as a freshman when Tariq Bracey was getting torched, and he came in the game and helped settle things down and really played well, had a nice break up down the field.
Yes,
so I don't like that. I don't like when people say that. I mean, you can say whatever you want. I just don't like it. If Clarence is the best guy for the job, that means Clarence had a great offseason. What I like about what John said is he hopes that Benjamin pushes those guys, because what that means is if he doesn't play, it's because Barnes or Lewis stepped up. And that's what I care about. I want somebody to step up and say, this is my job.
Right.
I'm going to handle it, and I'm going to be great at this. I don't care who it is, as long as it's the job is getting done. I really don't care who it
is.
Sean Kane says, what is Jabron Payne's expanded role going to look like now with the Jadarian Price injury? And can they only use him for four games until Diggs is back and preserve a year of eligibility? Yeah, they can. I mean, there's going to be games where, I mean, look, I'm not playing Jabron Payne against Ohio State unless he's just so good in fall camp.
Right.
You know, because you don't need to play him in that game. Right? You're in a bit of a pickle.
Absolutely.
You know, correct. As long as Chris Tyree and Audric Estime are healthy, I don't think you need to. You don't have to play a third back. You don't have to play a second back that often. You really just, especially in the opener, early in the year, you're fresher.
Right.
You don't have to play three backs, and then maybe you play him against Marshall. And then, you know, maybe Cal, and then he doesn't play against North Carolina and BYU, and then maybe play, you know, and then by then you're getting closer to when Diggs will be back. So, you know, what's his I don't know if he's going to have an expanded role. I don't think that's a given, Vince. I don't think that's a guarantee that he's going to have an expanded role, because, you know, he's got a lot to prove. Is he healthy?
Right?
I mean, he hasn't played a lot of football. He's rushed for under 400 total yards the last 2 years, because he got hurt in the opener as a freshman, and he only rushed for like 200 some yards last year because he was still battling injuries and his team wasn't as good. So, you know, to me, that's kind of where I look at it, Vince.
No, I hear you. I think projecting roles as far as what the running backs are going to be doing is premature in June. You know, let me see a practice first, and I'll tell you what I'm seeing, and then we can go down that road. But like, I don't feel good talking about what his expanded role is going to be. And again, like you said, you don't need him to have an expanded role.
Not early. Not against like Ohio State.
Not at all.
But if he does earn a role, I think it's just kind of like a third down back. You know, a guy that can play some slot, a guy that can come in and give you a little bit of a breather. Jabron Payne, if healthy and getting back to the guy he was before the injuries, is a good football player.
Sure.
I just haven't seen him really look like that guy in 2 years.
Right.
And that's the big question at this point in time. John Benko says, I personally predict that Buckner Mayer will be one of the top three quarterback receiver tandems in all of college football this year. I'll tell you what, right now, if that's true, this Notre Dame football team is going to be really,
absolutely,
really good.
Absolutely. I mean, you're not saying QB tight end. You're saying QB receiver.
Right. Well,
that's an expanded group right there.
I think what he means is like pass catcher.
Sure. No, I know what he meant.
For me, it's more of Buckner. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, it's more of if Buckner is – like, we know Mayer's one of the three best tight ends. That's a given. To me, Vince, what it's impactful for me is it means that him and Buckner are on, like, this great connection, which means the production's there. But that doesn't happen if Buckner isn't that dude. That's my takeaway from
it. I got you.
Is, boy, that's where you start getting, like, you know, really excited about that.
Yeah.
And because, like, you know, Mayer had great potential, great production last year. He's one of the five most productive tight ends in college football. But I wouldn't say that, like, him and Jack Cohn were, like, a top three quarterback receiver tandem. He was really good.
Right.
And so that's kind of how I look at it in my view. That's just how I took it. This is a good one, Vince. This is easy. Toe Jam 1992. Brian and Vince, what is the process like for a quarterback and receiver getting on the same page and becoming able to read each other's minds?
Reps, 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 and more reps. And that starts in the summertime with the player-led 7-on-7s and all of those different things. It's just the more you do it, the better off you get. And I don't think it goes a whole lot deeper than that, to be honest with you.
I would only add reps in the film room as well.
Yeah. Okay.
Talking through it. Like those are reps though, right? Like, hey, what would you do here? What would I do here?
Yes.
And then, but it's all part of it. In high school, not so much because you don't have as much film time with kids, but in college, it's taking it from the film room to the field and vice versa. But it's all about repetition time. Right. It takes time.
Yes.
And work together to do that.
Absolutely.
Like, you've heard things about, you know, Peyton Manning would just take guys and they would have these summer sessions with receivers and he would put like marks on the field. Like, I'm putting the ball here. You know what I mean? Like, you need to get here, like a little X on the field. I mean, just it's takes crazy. Reps and takes time. You're not doing that in college. I'm just making the point that it takes work and time, and it starts in the off season.
If and it you has start to
doing
be
that in August.
You're, dedicated. You're, it has to be dedicated. It has to be intentional work. You know what I mean? And you're right. It starts in the summertime when all these guys are on campus together. They're doing summer school, but it's not taking up that much of their time. You got plenty of opportunity, and they should be and probably are, you know, taking care of that.
I love this one right here. I love questions like this, Vince. Toe Jam 1992 says, Brian and Vince, if you were in a dark alley in Ann Arbor and found yourself dressed in Notre Dame IV gear, which 22 freshmen would you want with you? Like, would I really need one with me if I was in Ann Arbor? If you'd have said Columbus, I might have been like, which freshman would I want with me in that instance?
Man.
Boy, that's a really... Man, that's a really good question.
I'll go. I got one for you.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Tyson Ford.
Okay.
Because I could hide behind him, number one.
But he's such a sweet kid.
He is a sweetheart. But his mom loves IB. So I feel like that's going to be ingrained in him. He's going to fight a little harder for us because we got IB stuff on. So we're good.
I'm going to go with, this is going to be funny. I'm going to go with Emil Wagner or Junior Tuilamaka. The reason for Emil is that dude has such long arms. And strong hands, that dude could probably throw, right? Like, I mean, you see what he did with the shot put and all that, like strong, heavy hands. Like, I bet you Emil Wagner would be a really good boxer because he's got good feet. He's got that length. Right? He's just going to jab you all day, right? Because I'm looking at it from that standpoint. And then Junior Tuilamaka, because why would I not want Junior Tuilamaka if I got into a dark alley with a bunch of dudes from Ann Arbor? You know what I mean?
Why would I not?
So, yeah. Right. This is a good one from Sean Kane, Vince. Which freshman offensive lineman has the higher ceiling, Billy Shrouth or Emil Wagner?
Billy Shrouth has the higher floor.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't think there's a lineman that has a higher ceiling than Emil Wagner. The problem is what Vince just said. The floor is so much higher.
Right.
With Billy. There's such a long way from where Emil is now to where he needs to get.
His ceiling could be,
but if all the linemen tap out their potential, Emil Wagner's the highest guy, highest draft pick, in my opinion, because he's so athletic,
he's
got such strong hands, he's so long that if the weight thing takes on, he's going to be really, really good. Billy Shrouth would not be far behind, right? I mean, it's kind of like not a McGlinchey versus Quentin Nelson discussion. It's a Quentin Nelson versus Ronnie Stanley discussion.
Right.
You know, because Ronnie was such a higher – like Mike was probably a little bit better college player than Ronnie Stanley, let's be honest. I think Liam Eichenberg was a better college player than Ronnie Stanley because Ronnie was really inconsistent. Even in 2015, he gave up like 3 or 4 sacks in 2015 when he was an All-American. But when he was on, he was tremendous.
Yeah.
And Emil's kind of like that, more of that higher ceiling. You know, when will the consistency light go on? Where Mike McGlinchey kind of maxed out in college. Like that's the best he was going to be. And same with like Liam Eichenberg, in my opinion, not that they can't be good pros, but like, they're just not going to make where Ronnie took a jump in college. Like Ronnie got better in the pros even though he wasn't Notre Dame because he was still an evolving player.
A lot of his draft was on potential.
Right. Exactly.
Filled.
Yes. When healthy, he's fulfilled that so far. Yes. And Emil strikes me as that, but it's more of those two comparison than it would be a McGlinchey Quentin Nelson type.
Like
I'm not saying they're both going to be number 6 overall picks. I'm just trying to talk about the style of player. Garen Knutson says, you mentioned how being a track athlete is beneficial for receivers. Vince, I'll let you take this one. I think this is a good one that you'll be able to relate to because I'm sure that you've had to experience this a lot more coaching high school.
Sure.
But can you explain how wrestling is a positive or negative for an offensive lineman other than the obvious?
Leverage is obvious. And that's where I would have gone first. But at the same time, I had a We had two heavyweight wrestlers that were our guards at one of the high school stops that I was at. And one was a state runner up and the other one was like a semi-state qualifier. You know what I mean? So they're both just big, strong. So number one would be strength, because in order to be a heavyweight wrestler, you've got to be strong. Okay. So that's number one. Number two is feet. They have really good, at least these two guys had really good feet. So we put in an offense essentially where we were pulling guards and we were getting them out in front. We ran a sweep play where both of our guards got out in front of the sweep and they were in front of the running back leading the way, right? Because their feet were just so good. That comes from wrestling, in my opinion. At least for those two guys, right? They were just so quick with their feet. They were quick out of their stance, because you've got to be quick out of your stance in wrestling. So they were quick out of their stance, and so they were able to get out in front of things. So that's where it benefited the most offensively, I think. It was their quick feet and their strength.
I think the hand-eye coordination needed to be a good wrestler is also really good. I mean, you got to have fast hands.
You have to.
You know, especially when to beat guys that are shooting at you. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have – it's like a cut block in offensive line. It's a very translatable skill. It's can you fight that off and put that down when a guy's going lower than you? So, yes, Vince, I think that was a great explanation. I knew you'd have a good answer for that one. Because in high school, you deal with that a lot more, right? Like, I mean, yeah.
All the time, yeah. Absolutely.
The one concern I would ever have about wrestling for the high school level would be because of the weight classes. Like, some of kids who would maybe be 220 have to lose weight to get down to something else.
Yeah.
But when you're dealing with, like, Notre Dame, I mean, Charles Jagasaw's not getting down to 220 to wrestle. He's just going to be a heavyweight. Right? But I do think wrestling also helps conditioning. Because that's the thing about wrestlers is those are some of the best conditioned athletes I ever saw. Yeah. I mean, they just like, because they're always, I mean, they got to run. I mean, it was for like not a long event, like a lot of conditioning for not a long event, which I was always really impressed by. Joseph Barrett asks, how does Cam Williams compare with Cardale Tate? That's a really good question. I think Cam is now kind of where Cardale was as a freshman. They're very similar body types. I'd say Cam is a little thicker than Cardale was at the same age. Cardale was a pretty advanced player. And that's the thing about Cardale. Cardale's not the most explosive guy. He's not an elite athlete. The reason we had him as a five-star, he just knows how to play the game.
Sure.
He knows how to get open. He's got strong hands. He's very advanced. You know, and this is why we said his ceiling wasn't as high. Remember when we went back in March when we thought Notre Dame was going to get Cardale, we were asked on the board. I don't know if we talked about it in the show, but we were asked on the board, do you think who has the highest ceiling of all the receivers on the board? And at the time, we thought Notre Dame had a really good shot with Cardale. And I said, it's Braylon James and Tyler Williams. And, you know, and honestly, if I viewed Ronan Hanifin as a receiver then, he was more of an athlete then, I would have put Ronan Hanifin there ceiling-wise. But Cardale has got a really high floor. Like, he's really advanced right now. And that's why sometimes I'm like, should he really be a five-star? Because I just don't know how much better he's going to get. But I think he's going to fill out and be there. But he's still a top 50 guy. Cam, to me, is still getting to that level. He's still learning the game. He's still kind of, you know, he's a bigger than Cardale was. I think he's faster than what Cardale was. But his overall feel for the game isn't where Cardale's is yet. And that's really what separated Cardale is he's got a really advanced game. He's not in the top 10 in high school receivers in just God-given ability. He's just not. But that's not always what it takes at receiver, right? And we've talked about this, Vince. If an athlete like Cardale at another position is not going to be ranked as high as Cardale is at receiver, because at a lot of positions at the end of the day, you got to be a pretty good athlete. You know, linebacker, corners, you got to have some athleticism. Instincts only takes you so far. A receiver is a different animal.
Right.
Receiver and quarterback are two positions more than any other in football where you don't have to be a great athlete to be a great player. I would argue, you know, as far as the non-line positions. Agreed. And so that's what I like about Cardale. Cam's getting there. I would argue that Cam, at the same age, has a higher ceiling than what Cardale had. But the floors are really different right now. And that's what separates Cardale from a lot of other guys. But that's a really good question to draw those two. And obviously in the Chicago, but the similar body types and all that kind of stuff. Giants Clown says, I think this will be a transition year. 23 will be our time. I'm so nervous about the Ohio State game. Vince, you know what we call that?
I mean,
that's called BK PTSD.
Okay, there you go. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, why?
We talked about this.
Why is it a transition year?
Yeah. Last year was a transition year. This,
yes,
if you want to call it that. This year is not. I'm sorry. This year is not a transition. What are you transitioning to?
Right.
It's going to be the same. Like, you're not trans. A transition means there's something there to transition from one to the other.
Yeah. Well, I'm accepting them not being as good. Why? I just wrote an article the other day where Walter Camp released their preseason All-Americans. Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, and Clemson, and Notre Dame were the only teams with three guys. Now, Ohio State had a fourth guy, but it was a kicker. I'm talking about position players.
Whoa.
Notre Dame had as many. I've seen mock drafts with Notre Dame having four first-round draft picks on this football team. Four. I just don't understand this whole, it's the wait till, because this is the crap we did throughout Brian Kelly's tenure. Well, this may not be the year, but wait till next year. And then you get to next year. It's like, well, this may not be the year. Wait till next year.
Right.
Why is 2020? Because I remember it wasn't that long ago last year. Well, 2021 was the same people. Well, this year maybe not, but next year we're going to be really good. Well, first year starter quarterback. Okay, so what? Did we not just see a first year starter as a sophomore win the Heisman Trophy and play in the national championship? Did we not just see that happen? Right. Better supporting cast. Okay, at some spots, not at others. Right? I mean, Notre Dame's got a first-round draft pick on the offensive line. They've got a first-round draft pick caliber player at corner. They got a first-round draft pick player at safety. They've got a linebacker that we all think is going to be tremendous. They've got talent and speed at receiver. It's one of the fastest Notre Dame teams we're going to see since 2015.
That's event.
Their top, this quarterback that everyone thinks is going to suck, not everyone, I'm being hyperbolic, was a top 100 freaking recruit, right? Who only didn't finish in the top 50 because he didn't play as a senior, right? I mean, I just don't understand this. I mean, 3 years ago, everybody was like, Chris Tyree, five-star running back. And now it's like, write him off. Let's go for the next guy.
Yep.
They got the best tight end in college football, in my opinion. He's at least in the conversation. You're going to have one of the best offensive lines in college football. I don't understand why some people are just refusing to accept the fact that this team should be really freaking good.
Right, exactly.
And they don't have to beat Ohio State to be a championship team. They don't. Ohio State, when they won a championship in 2014, lost the second game of the year at home by two freaking touchdowns to a Virginia Tech team that went 7-6.
Yep.
But by the end of the year, they were the best team in the country. They don't have to beat Ohio State. They just have to compete with Ohio State and then run the table till you get to November 7th. And that's when you say, this is who we are. I just don't understand this notion of it being a transition year. It's not a transition year. Marcus Freeman doesn't view it that way. He doesn't see it as a transition year. They got a shot to go out and compete for a championship. They've got one of the five best rosters in college football right now. There are 126, I think there's 131 teams now. There are at least 125 teams in college football right now that would love to trade their rosters for Notre Dame if you could ask those coaches in private without it getting out. Flat out would trade their rosters for Notre Dame's rosters. And, you know, this notion that it's a transition year, I reject it. I do, because – this is too good of a football team, in my opinion, for us to expect it to be a year where I just expect a couple losses.
Right.
Do I think they have to beat Clemson and Ohio State? No. But you got to beat one of them.
You got to beat one of them. Absolutely agree with that.
Otherwise, you're still Brian Kelly. And I just don't understand why. It's like Ryan says, it's okay to be excited. It's okay to get excited about this team.
Right.
Right? Get over your BK PTSD and be excited about what this team could be, because this is a very – talented football team. And Michael Campbell, if you think I'm a homer, okay, cool. Joel Klatt has Notre Dame as a top five team for 2022. And his post wasn't who are the five best teams. It was, I believe, if I remember correctly, Vince, who are the five most talented teams.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why some people are unwilling to embrace the fact that this is a really talented football team. A really talented football team. And it's okay to feel that way. It really is okay to feel that way. It's not a sin to say, I think this team's really good, and then to hold them to that standard. Because we would do that for Brian Kelly. You and I would, Vince. If Brian Kelly was the head coach.
Absolutely.
No doubt. So,
absolutely.
Vince, I know you got a roll. So I'm going to roll through these next last few questions. Real quick. It's a recruiting question. I was going to get one in there for you, but we're good to go.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, all right. Sounds good.
Got a super chat from Matt Koistra. This is happy fourth weekend. I asked this to you guys before. Do you guys still feel confident about ending up in a top five recruiting? Yeah, I absolutely, absolutely do. Notre Dame's about to go through a stretch this next week where their class is going to take a big jump. And yes, I'm very confident. I think the question would be is, what's the confidence level in the finish top three, which we were asked yesterday. I still feel confident in that, but I just don't see how they don't finish in the top five. I'd be shocked if they don't finish. I think it would have to them, the recruiting rankings, people just dropping all their players or them losing some guys. I just don't see that happening. I really don't. Nellie Jackson asks, how is the battle at guard shaking out? For me, there really isn't a battle at guard at this point in time, to be honest with you. It is Jarrett Patterson and Josh Lugg is what we expect to be. Now, if Josh Lugg doesn't play well, and if you're in a situation where maybe somebody gets hurt again, then sure, Rocco Spindler is going to compete. I think Billy Shrout is gonna, by the end of the year, could be in that competition. But I think Rocco, Andrew Kristofic obviously started several games last year. He's going to get an opportunity to win a starting job. But I just think you're moving Jarrett Patterson with the notion that he's going to play or he's going to start. It's not that he's in a battle. I think maybe right guard, but I think Josh has kind of got that position locked down if he's healthy and continues to play. But if there is a battle, it could be there. And that's where an Andrew Kristofic or a Rocco Spindler could really push in for playing time. And I think that's kind of where there could be a battle, but I fully expect it to be the veterans are going to win that job. Tommy Gunn says, Brian, will Notre Dame actually run real RPOs now that we have a QB that can run? Okay, Tommy, see, and I see the upside face. You're trying to be funny. That's not an RPO. That is a read option. And I think Notre Dame will do both with Tyler Buckner, quarterback, you troublemaker. Love you, Tommy. Michael Campbell was the one that talked about Joel Klatt. I think I pulled that up. And then got a super chat here from Alan Watson. No negativity, people. Remember, you can just as easily speak negativity into existence. Think and speak positivity if into what you want. I'm okay with people if they truly believe a negative, they can express it. I mean, I'm all for that. There are some people that were just being childish, and so they got booted from the chat. But you know, I mean, to me, I look at it and I view it as, you know, if you have genuine questions, and talk about them, bring them, let's discuss it. We don't all have to, this isn't a Homer channel, right? Like, this isn't a channel where we sit there and say, well, you know, we're Notre Dame fans, and so we only say good things. I think if you have genuine concerns, bring them up. But I think to Alan's point, for me, it's more of a, but be open to the discussion that maybe you have it wrong, right? And allow that evidence to get in there. But also, hey, this may be a transition year, but be excited. The issue with the question that I brought up earlier wasn't the transition year. It's I'm super nervous about Ohio State. That's the BK PTSD part. And then that always looking for next year kind of thing. I think those are kind of the things that just kind of bother me a little bit, frustrate me. And the frustration isn't even towards the poster. It's more about the culture that Brian Kelly established of always not there and accepting that they're not there yet. No, just wait till next year. And then just a bunch of new excuses would be brought up. And that just kind of drives me a little bit nuts. So it's not even so much the fan base, like Michael Campbell says, you know, he has a comment here that I thought was kind of appropriate. And he said, you know, about it's a beat down fan base. And yeah, I totally get it. I totally get it. All right, last couple here, and we'll get to there. We have some things about the offensive line. Brandon Pleasure says, why would Josh Lugg start? I'm taking Kristofic at guard over Lugg. I think, and we've talked about this before, and Vince talked about this a lot. Josh Lugg, I think, is a very disrespectful player. I think that there's a lot of Notre Dame fans that have kind of grabbed on to the mistakes he's made. We saw this a lot in 2017 when Mike McGlinchey was playing phenomenal football. There were still fans that would kind of make fun of all the false starts he had the year before, ignoring the fact that Ronnie Stanley had almost as many in his All-American season, you know, and they gave him the nicknames and all that. And they would just kind of focus on, and I'm not saying you, Brandon, but they'd focus on those negatives and just ignore how well he was playing. Look, you know, Josh Lugg had some really good moments last year. He had some really ugly moments, but his ugly moments were due to him being A, very poorly coached, and B, playing tackle. And he would do things where he would set, and it's like he'd be on his heels, and I mean, they were being taught it, and they just get driven back. We saw Josh Lugg in 2019 when he still had some of that Harry Hiestand influence, number one, because Harry Hiestand had coached him for a year. And then number two, you still had Hainsey and Leichenberg, and those guys could kind of set the example for how to do things, where he was much better in 2019 at tackle. But the thing is, Brandon, is if he was still a tackle, then I'd say maybe there's a potential to beat him out. But, you know, I think Josh is projects much better at guard. And I think that the combination of him, I mean, I think he was their, at times, their best lineman last year. There was times where he was better than Jarrett Patterson. But it's just, there were other times when he wasn't, because he was out of position a little bit and he was coached terribly. So I think as a guard playing for Harry, sixth year, if he's healthy, and this is a big if with Josh, I think he's going to be a good football player. And I think that he's been a better player than people give him credit for. He was awful in 2020, but he had no business playing center. None. He was good in 2019 when he came on the bench, and he was solid last year. At times he got beat and had some ugly losses and some bad penalties, but a lot of other times he was a solid, good football player. And I think the other part, too, is I think his style of play fits a little bit better than maybe what they want to do with Harry Hiestand. But I'll also say this, Brandon. If Andrew Kostofic beats him out, that wouldn't necessarily surprise me. But to me, for me, where I think you and I would have a difference of opinion is, I think you would expect Kostofic to beat him out because you don't think Lugg is good. I think if Kostofic could beat him out, because I think Kostofic could be good. And so, to me, that's where I think – where we kind of disagree is, I like the push of Kristoffic, maybe even Rocco, but it's more about them being good as opposed to Lugg not being a good player. And John A1 says, wait, so the starting O-line is pretty much established, left tackle Alt, left guard Patterson, center Correll, right guard Lugg, right tackle Fisher. Going into fall camp, yes. Now, if somebody just beats somebody out, yeah. Yep. That's absolutely could happen. That's what good coaching does. But going into fall camp, I think this is the line they're working with, and someone's going to have to beat somebody out to do it. And, you know, Brandon, in fairness, did say, and this is why I love you, Brandon, you're a very fair, open-minded guy. You know, being next to Kane Madden didn't help either, and you're spot on. You're absolutely spot on that. So that's going to do it, everybody, for today's show. Chief Brody says it correctly. I'm just excited to see some college football, man. And I am with you 100%, man. I cannot wait. Cannot wait till we get to this season, and just going to have it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited about it. And it is, as Ryan always says, man, it's okay to be excited. It's okay to be excited. Listen to my guy, Mace AK, though, everybody. You got to join that message board, boards.irishbreakdown.com. $4.99 a month, $49.99 for a year. Plus you get discounts to the merch store. No, you're just missing out. You got to hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, folks, hit that notification bell. Share this podcast. If you're listening via podcast app, give us a 5-star review. Visit that IB store for the best merch. But if you haven't signed up for the message board yet, sign up for the message board first. Then you get your 10 or 20% discount, depending off you a monthly or annually. You'll definitely want to take advantage of that. Check out the Built Bars, 10% off using our Irish Breakdown promo code. All of that good stuff is going on. If you're a coffee person, we got an ad running for Trade Coffee. We had a lot of success with that. They have decided to come back up with us. My wife actually used that stuff and loved it. It's really cool deal. You have to basically, they take a quiz and then they send you a coffee from one of their vendors. That's most of it is in, from North America. I think a lot of them are from the United States. Really, really cool deal. So check that out as always. And as always, go Irish. Thanks everybody for joining me. We will see you again at 6 o'clock. Sean Stiers will be at 6 o'clock on the IB Nation Sports Talk. And then of course, Ryan and I will be back tonight at 8 p.m. to cover the pending decision of 2024 standout receiver Cam Williams. Have a great rest of your day, and we will talk to you again very, very soon on the Irish Breakdown Podcast. We'll be right back.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.